Welcome to the Living Faith Missionary Church Podcast. You're about to listen to a message from Pastor Chris Starn, Senior Pastor at Living Faith in Yoder, Indiana. It is our prayer that this message is an encouragement and a blessing to your life.
So Paul is standing amongst intellectuals. These were not just farmers and merchants and sailors. These were the intellectuals. These were the professors. These were the men of knowledge. These were the ones that when you wanted to know some of the philosophers, when you wanted to know about the meaning of life, these were the men you went to. And he's standing in front of them and he's sharing with them. He's focusing on an altar in the city that was to an unknown God. And he proceeds to share with them who that unknown God really is. And he tells them that the time of ignorance is over. It's time for them to grow up. And we saw in the sermon I did last week, we saw that God doesn't need us. He is self-sufficient. He created man, all men, from one man. And it is God that determines the nations and boundaries and how long each nation will survive. Yes, one day the United States will be no more. It will not survive. And I don't know about you, but I think it's coming quicker than we expect. But in verse 26, he says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." And why does God do this? In verse 27, he tells us that they should seek God. The reason that God created man from all of man from one man, the reason why he puts countries in the places that they are is so that they would seek him and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet, he is actually not far from each one of us. That's important for us to remember. God is not far from each one of you. Now, I use that with my kids to remind them, just because I'm not there watching you what you're doing, God is. You know, I use it as a threat. But in reality, it's a promise. It's a great gift, a great promise. God is never far from us. Nothing that happens to us is outside of his knowledge. And he's always there to help us through it. So Paul makes these points. God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need our worship. He desires it. He loves it. He enjoys it. He wants us to do it, but he doesn't need it. God is sovereign over all life and destiny and of all nations. God's aim is to set men searching for him. Our goal is to search for him. I think God has placed within every human being a sense that there's something outside of themselves that they need to find. Man worships something. Every man worships something. Even the atheist worships something, and that's usually themselves. But everybody has this desire to worship something, to know that there's something bigger outside themselves. God is near those who seek him. God should not be treated as an idol. He is not an idol for us to desire things of and to try to command. And then Paul declares that God has overlooked ignorance in the past, but now commands that all must repent. Now, I want you to understand that when God overlooks ignorance, it doesn't mean that he ignored it. It doesn't mean that he just doesn't worry about it, just lets it go. We all know parents who let their kids run wild, and, you know, I think some of them were camping next to us this weekend, and just don't even worry about what they're doing. That's not what it is. It's not what it means. Because men are still guilty of in their ignorance. It's not that they have no guilt. We know this because in Romans 2:12 it says, "For all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law." In other words, ignorance is no excuse. You're driving down the road and you're doing 75 miles an hour and the speed limit's 65 and you get pulled over. And the police officer comes up, knocks on the window and says, "Did you know how fast you were going?" "Well, yeah, I was going 75. "Do you know the speed limit's 65? "Well, no." "Oh, you're fine then, go ahead." Doesn't happen. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. But everybody is responsible no matter what. And we all should be seeking God. At the beginning of Romans, in Romans 1, 18 through 23, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." We suppress the truth in our unrighteousness. "For what could be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." Look around you. God is this all of creation shows who God is. Science does not disprove God. In fact, you'll find if you really look at science, science has proven God more than it's disproven God. A lot of it is impossible to have happened by chance. It couldn't. And as Paul goes on, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world." We look at this and we can perceive, we can see his eternal power and his divine nature. "So that they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." This is people who look and see nature and say, yep, there's something. There's a God out there. There's something. And then they ignore him. Or those of us who do definitely know God on a intimate level, and yet we live like we're ignoring him. "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." See, judgment will come to us according to the knowledge that we have. So everyone, all humans, are without excuse. They will be judged for ignoring God because he's revealed himself to them. Everyone. Now, those of us who know him more intimately, we will be judged harsher because we know more. All of us have enough knowledge, which many of us fail to live up to, and for that, we will be judged for it. But see, you got to remember, God has not been indulging in ignoring sin. This is not what overlook means. There are many times that one of my kids are here, so I can kind of mention this. My kids are sometimes do things not realizing that I know what they're doing. All parents go through that. Our kids do things and they think they're getting away with it, and the whole time we know exactly what's going on. And what do we do? Do we, every single time they do something wrong, do we put the hammer down on them? Well, if you're Jeff, you do. It's the Army way, right? No, I don't think Jeff even does that. We don't put the hammer down on our kids every time they do something wrong. We kind of watch them. And we hope that they're going to straighten out, that they're going to apologize, that they're going to do the right thing. And we save it. I save things up for my kids. Not so that I can be even more angry with them, but so that I can say, remember that thing that you did? Here's what you should have done. Here's how you should have addressed that issue. And what God is doing, instead, is of looking the other way, he doesn't just step in every time and discipline the world. Now, we can see in Scripture where he did discipline the world. We know, obviously, at the Garden of Eden, he stepped in and disciplined Adam and Eve. At that point, they were the world. So he disciplined them. He disciplined Cain. As society grew and became more and more wicked, he disciplined the whole earth by sending the flood. He disciplined the people at the Tower of Babel. He disciplined Israel. The kingdom split. There was the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was taken into captivity because they walked away from God. And within a lifetime, the southern kingdom was also taken and disciplined. But then God allowed the nations to go their way. And understand, God is going to discipline the world again. But he let the nations go their own way. In Acts 14:16, it says, in the past generation, he allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. But then there was a game changer. And the game changer was Jesus entering the world and dying on a cross for our sins. And now we can no longer remain ignorant. We can no longer remain in childish ways like we are. Now is the time for repentance, because the time of ignorance is over. It's the time for us to grow up. And believe me, beloved, it's time for us as a church. It's time for us as believers. It's time for us as people of God to grow up. Stop living like we're not believers. In other words, since Jesus has been raised from the dead, God no longer intends for there to be a time of ignorance. And Paul says that by the resurrection of God, we have proof that Jesus is going to judge man. He is the universal judge. That means the resurrection must be preached to all people. From this point on, from the point of the resurrection of Christ, only through faith in Jesus Christ can men be saved. We know that in the Old Testament, it was belief in God, because it says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. There were those in the Old Testament who believed God, who trusted in God, who lived holy lives, who are saved. But now, we're without excuse. We must believe in Jesus Christ. Paul tells the Romans in Romans 2:5, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. See, if we don't repent, we will suffer God's judgment on the day of wrath. The beauty of it is, all we have to do is repent. I repent now. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. My sins are gone. My past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. That doesn't mean I go on sinning. That means I repent of those too when I do them. It means I repent of my sins. I go to Christ and say, I'm sorry I've sinned today. I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, please lead me. I go to bed at night saying, Father, forgive me for any sins I missed. I have a repentant heart. I live in repentance. But that means I don't have to suffer wrath, because I believe in Jesus Christ. I trust him for the forgiveness of my sins. But I don't continue sinning. I don't intentionally continue sinning. I struggle with my sin nature, as Paul says. If we don't repent, we're going to suffer wrath. It may seem like for now, evil is getting away with everything in the world, especially now. But the day is coming when justice will be served. This is what Paul tells the Romans in Romans 2. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who practice in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and then to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For God shows no partiality. It's important that we remember what it says in verse 7. To those who, by patience and well-doing, seek glory and honor and immortality. We must seek it. We must search after it. We must strive for it. It doesn't mean we reach it every time. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It means that we fall, we sin, we make mistakes, we hurt people, but we need to make restitution. We need to make up with those people. We need to rebuild that relationship. Then we need to rebuild our relationship with God. So what does this mean for us as a missionary church? Paul puts it correctly in Romans 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless someone is sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. God has revealed himself in nature, and he's revealed himself through his Son. And Jesus is the only way to salvation. And God tells us in Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13, that if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them and I will heal their land. God never changes. So I believe that same verse is true for us today. If we will humble ourselves, if we will seek his face, if we will turn from our wicked ways and pray to him, he will hear us and he will heal our land. I don't think he's going to heal the whole world, but he'll heal our land. He'll heal us and those around us who know him and seek his face. God commands all men everywhere to repent and gives them assurance through Christ's authority by the resurrection that we will be saved. But how do people know of that assurance? How do people in this campground know of the assurance unless somebody tells them? How do people in your life know that they have assurance of salvation, that wrath is coming? It's going to come ultimately. How do they know unless you tell them? And what if we don't tell them? Do you know that Ezekiel was a prophet? I was just listening to this morning. Ezekiel was a prophet. And God says, I want you to go and I want you to prophesy. And I'm going to give you all the words to say. And if I tell you that somebody's going to die and you don't tell them and they die, it's on you. Their death is on you. Now, I'm not saying this to make us feel guilty for all the people we haven't shared Jesus with. But that gives us some thought into our treasures in heaven that we're supposed to be storing up are based upon what we do for Christ here on earth. What are we storing up? Are we storing up stuff that's going to just burn away? Or are we storing up things that are going to last forever? Like sharing the gospel. Just sharing the love of Christ with somebody. It doesn't mean that you have to get on your soapbox and preach to them. But you need to love them and show them love. And then when they wonder why you're doing this, because of Jesus. Tell them it's because of Jesus. Because Jesus loves me and he loves you. And he wants you to live for him and seek him and read his word and love him. That's all it takes. Because there's no salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we might be saved. You know, what do we do today? Do we let the mainstream media determine what our purpose is? Do we let advertising agencies decide what we need? The meaning of your days is that the time of ignorance is over. And done. And now God commands us to repent, believe in Jesus Christ, and be saved from the wrath of God that will fall upon the earth in the day of judgment. It's going to happen, folks. I don't doubt it one bit. Nothing in God's word doesn't come to pass. Sooner or later, it does. So this is a time of repentance and salvation. It's a day of repentance and salvation. Paul faced the Athenians, and he faces the whole world and says to us, the meaning of your days is that the time of ignorance is done, and now God commands us to repent, believe in Jesus Christ, and be saved from the wrath of God that will fall upon the earth on that day. We are living in grace. The nations will no longer be allowed to go their own ways. The great shepherd has come into the world. was crucified and buried, rose from the dead, and he has stated that I have other sheep of this fold that you do not know of. He told his believers that, his followers. He told the disciples that. I have sheep from another fold. That's us. That's us. And these are the ones that we've seen Paul reaching in our study of Acts. God is on the move. He has been gathering his people. He has never been more busy gathering his people than he is now, from all nations, tribes, and tongues, gathering them, preparing them for the day of wrath. It's a day of mission and evangelism. God commands that all men everywhere must repent. But how? You see, Israel, their responsibility was to reach the nations. Their responsibility was to be God's people amongst all the nations and lead the nations to God. And they failed. They sought other gods. God could have overcome the weaknesses of the Israelites. He could have had a great revival during the time of the Old Testament. But instead, he sent his son to die for us. And now he created the church. And the church's mission is to go and make disciples of all nations, of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to follow his ways. The days of ignorance are over. The days of God's people living for themselves is done. Ignoring the mission God has put before us, that time is over. We will be held accountable for that. We need to go and do it. We need to be on mission to our families, to our neighbors, to our communities, and to the world. This is a time of loving and sending. A day of loving your neighbor enough to tell them that Jesus loves them and that he wants them to turn to him. A day of sending, because we must make every effort to be a sending church. Sending you to your neighbors. Sending you to the world to share the gospel. It's time to grow up. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. I'll be honest with you. I sometimes still think like a child. I sometimes still act like a child. I can't do that anymore. I have to grow up. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see him face to face with no face mask. We won't need one. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. The age of ignorance has come to an end. The age of ignorance in my life has come to an end. Today is a day of repentance and salvation, mission and evangelism, and loving and sending. God has fixed his day of judgment. May we rest assured that if we repent and turn back to Jesus, we have no need to worry about judgment and wrath. We have no need to worry about what's going on around us. We don't have to worry about COVID. God's greater than that. We don't have to worry about wars. We don't have to worry about disease. We don't have to worry about riots, death, murder, thieves, nothing should worry us. We definitely don't have to worry about God's wrath. I want to leave us with this promise that Paul gave to the church at Thessalonica. It says, now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord, that is the day of wrath, will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. We will know when it's coming. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of our faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath. Remember that. God hasn't destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So whether we are died or whether we are alive, we're going to live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Especially today, folks, we should be building each other up with these words. Yes, wrath is coming, but praise be to Jesus. We are not destined to wrath. We're not asleep. We're not drunk. We've grown up. The day of ignorance is gone. The day of salvation and repentance and mission and sending and evangelism is here. The question is, are we going to embrace it and live it? Let's pray. Father, we just praise you today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your plan, because your plan is going to win out in the end, no matter what. All good things work together for you, Lord, because it's going to work out the way you want it to. Lord, help us. Help us to put away our childish ways and to seek your face and humble ourselves so that we can be the one that you send to those around us, those in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our community, and in the world, to share the gospel, to show the hope that we have. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. I want to sing Create in Me a Clean Heart one more time.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May that be our prayer today. Amen. Thanks for coming.